بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Respected viewers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to this week's show, and I'm your host, Sayyida Nasser, and today we're going to be discussing the topic of holistic living. Now, according to the World Health Organization, they say that optimal health is not about the absence of disease, rather it is a more holistic way of life. It says that it includes mental, physical, spiritual and psychological well-being. It tells us that health is our responsibility, that we make the choices for our own complete lifestyle. However, this is a concept that is not new in the religion of Islam. Islam has always told us that we are not just here to provide for the afterlife. Rather, this body is a vehicle that contains our soul, and we need to be able to look after it, we need to be able to nurture it. And therefore, because it is an amanat, we need to give it back, we need to look after it. There are dictates within the Quran that tells us that we need to eat of the good that Allah has given us. And therefore, we see good health as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are grateful to Him for it. So we find that in the secular world, holistic health, eating well, is something that is actually in vogue at the moment, because we find that we're at polar extremes in society. You're either on a fad diet, or you're prescribing to some sort of well-being, or at the other end of the spectrum, we find that we're actually going through an obesity epidemic. And Islam is not about either extreme, it's about the middle path. And so here to discuss this topic with me today of holistic health is my first guest, Sister Janan, who is a nutritionist. She's won awards on healthier food and special diets. Welcome to the show. And my second guest is Sister Arifa, who has graduated in the field of psychology and works in the field of education. Welcome to the show too.
Thank you.
So without further ado, let's talk about the concept of holistic living. We find that the word holistic seems to be hashtagged a lot. So just now I was on a training course and we were talking about holistic education. And today we're talking about holistic living. I mean, when we talk about holistic and holistic health, what exactly are we referring to?
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam.
Well, nowadays there's an obesity epidemic. So one in every three people in the UK at the moment are currently obese or overweight. I think because of this and everything else that's in the media, people are more aware of the risk of becoming overweight and other nutrition-related diseases. People are more conscious about themselves. They're looking more into fad diets, as you were saying before, and they're trying to look into a holistic approach to life, like trying to focus on the physical, emotional, mental aspects of keeping yourself healthy. That includes exercise. Emotional well-being involves like staying healthy, not being depressed all the time, mediating, yoga, etc.
I think basically when we talk about holistic health, it's the relationship between your mind, body and soul working together. And I think if you want to achieve optimum health, it does take those three things together. Often when we think about health, we isolate it to just the physical, and we think about a healthy diet and a healthy body. But in actual fact, to achieve that optimum state of health, you need a healthy mindset, you need a healthy attitude, you need a healthy relationship. It takes lots of different things working together to ensure that you're optimum at your health.
So I mean, when we talk about things affecting us, I mean, food has a really big effect on
Huge.
Us. I mean, you're talking about obesity, but we're not actually just talking about, you know, eating the wrong kinds of food and therefore putting on weight, or your proportion of fat increasing. There is actually, I mean, a psychological effect to food as well. So I was reading a study on happy water, and it's where they took like two trays of water and they wanted to freeze them. It's a clinical trial. And on one they said, you know, good words, pretty words, and on the other one they used really aggressive words, and they froze both of these trays of water, and they looked at the crystallization of both of the cubes, and the one that had the good words said on it actually formed into prettier crystal forms, whereas the other one didn't. And you'd think that at the end of the day it was actually just water that they had frozen, and that water was going to freeze in exactly the same way, but you know, clearly it didn't. And so I guess that the way that you think, the way that you act when you're cooking food must therefore like have an impact. Because I know that, you know, in our religious practices, you know, we're told when you recite the Ajoshana Kabir, read it on water, drink this water, and although, you know, as a child, I would do this and I'd think, yeah, okay, well, let's just do it, you know, everyone's doing it, blow into the water and then drink it. We used to make it a little bit special. But after I saw this trial, I was actually like, oh.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Mm, definitely.
Yeah, I think what you eat has such an impact on your soul, and we often forget that. And in, even in the Quran, it says in Surah Baqarah, I think, ayat 168, eat for you what is halal and what is good for you, not just what is halal. And so many of the times we focus on just the halal aspect, but actually looking at the wholesome nature of food is so important as well. And I think often we underplay the importance of that. And the relationship between your mind, body and soul is suggested through so many things that we hear. Like, for example, if you want a softer soul, or if you feel like your heart's getting hot, it's requested that you eat dal instead of hard meat, because that makes your soul very hard. So I think the relationship is shown through our Islamic faith, that like what you eat has an impact on your soul, and that's something that we don't take into consideration so much when we're thinking about our diet.
You raise a good point. She talks about in the Quran, Allah says, eat what is halal and what is tayyib, what is good. And we find that, you know, you're talking about the obesity epidemic.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have like all these like equivalents now. So like you have the McDonald's, but then you've got the McDonald's that's gone halal. And then you have all these fast food chains that are like opening, trying to create the halal alternative to unhealthy living. But I don't think we take tayyib actually quite seriously.
Yep. Well, do you know what? If you look at the foods that are actually mentioned in the Quran, you've got the figs, you've got the grapes, you've got dates, you've got banana, all them kind of foods. It doesn't mention McDonald's there. But anyway, going back to what you were saying before, which I quite found interesting about the mind, body and soul, they all complement each other. So back to your original question, to like lead a holistic lifestyle, mind, body and soul, like they all go together. Mm-hmm. So when one is affected, it usually affects another component. An example of this is going through trauma, going through a bad time. Usually, like if you've just witnessed a traumatic incident, the first thing you're gonna do, if you're with your friends, is they'll take you to go get some food, they'll give you some chocolate, something like that. If you look at the science behind it, the chocolate, it releases endorphins. The food that you usually eat when you're sad, comfort eating, it's all happy foods. So
it's
with
serotonin.
Yeah, serotonin. Yeah.
Oh wow, I didn't even think. But I mean, right, we're all three of us are in different phases of our life. Realistically, I mean, in the secular world, we're trying to create a work-life balance. Now all of a sudden, we've got health organisations, and in fact, reality Islam is saying exactly the same thing, that you actually need to balance it from a four-pronged approach. You need to try and have good mental health, you need to have good diet, you need to be able to balance everything. How realistic is it? I mean, I know that we're saying that Islam says that we should, but I find that, you know, on a day-to-day basis, it's all right, I can do it. But if I'm in a hurry, or if I have 110 things to do, for me,